So, Kim, you know what the new definition of Disney magic is?
No, what is it, Rob?
Alakazam! All your money's gone!
Welcome to episode 14 of the Hoopty Duo Disney Review Show. I'm your host, Kim, and I'll be joined by my wonderful husband, Rob LeBerry.
Hey, has anyone seen my wallet?
So, hey, everybody, we are back to do part three of our three-part series covering our June 2021 trip to Walt Disney World and Universal. And today we are going to be heading back over to Universal Orlando with a three-night stay at Loews Portofino Bay Hotel. We're going to talk about a lunch we had at Toothsome Chocolate Emporium and Savory Feast Kitchen. And we're going to talk about one of the highlights of our two-week trip, and that was goofing or golfing around at Orlando's Top Golf. So, Rob, your comments about the Walt Disney World, is that related to the new annual pass holder information that came out today?
Indeed. They had just a few weeks ago released the information about their new annual pass program out in Disneyland and out in Anaheim there, and then followed that up with their announcement of the new Disney Genie service. Mm-hmm. They call it a service. It's a lot of people are feeling more like it's a cash grab. It's kind of their replacement for FastPass, where they once again have taken away something they used to provide for free and are now charging for it as a service right. to the customers
right. mm-hmm.
or to their guests. So today we got the updated information about the new Disney World annual pass program, and there's just going to be four tiers. The pricing went up. They took Memory Maker, which is basically their unlimited photo downloads, out of the price of the base annual pass. You can add that on as a feature, as well as adding on the water parks. Both of those upgrades are $100 a piece or $99 a piece.
Right.
But there is a lot of talk out there in the Disney community about, you know, what's going on. A lot of people feel like there's a big money grab going on by Disney. And, you know, with that in mind, it's just one of those things that it's more and more expensive to go to Walt Disney World, and you're kind of getting less and less for the money you're spending. So understand a lot of the frustration out there. It's kind of bad timing on the back end of the pandemic, but, you know, Disney certainly feels like they have to take advantage of things for their 50th mm-hmm. anniversary and mm-hmm. Try to make up some of that lost revenue, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't seem like there was going to be a lot of options for those of us that are out of state annual pass holders. We have the option of purchasing one. You and I do not own DVC, so right. there's only one pass, and that is, of course, the highest tiered pass. It's there's a lot of good and bad. We were wondering whether or not annual passes were going to come back and in what form they were going to come back. We got a little taste of what was going to happen with the Magic Key program out of Disneyland. However, you know, I would have to say, in general, we're not real thrilled. We feel like it's much more money for a lot less convenience and access. And so we'll just have to wait and see how those things come back. But again, you know, we've talked a lot on this show about, you know, our feelings about Disney and how they've handled the pandemic and our experiences there. So we will be interested to see what we get for our money
right.
in the future. And we are currently annual pass holders, so we are going to be taking a trip here in a couple of weeks. We will be taking another two-week trip.
Right.
So, but right now, we're going to talk about our last two-week trip. So like I said, this is part three. We are heading back over to Universal. We're talking about a three-night stay at Loews Portofino Bay Hotel. Now, Portofino Bay is one of their, I guess you would call it their deluxe, one of their deluxe hotels there at Universal. The resort is themed as, they call it a seaside village in Portofino Bay, which I would buy that from the theming. Yeah, I thought they did an amazing job. This had been a place I had been wanting to stay ever since it had opened. This was definitely a bucket list item for me, so I was pretty thrilled to get to stay there for three nights. With the resort, with your room, you get free Universal Express Unlimited, which is really the biggest perk of staying there, aside from the location and the close proximity to the parks, is the Universal Free Express Unlimited. That's early park admission to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Universal's Volcano Bay Water Park. You get an hour before the theme park opens to the general public. You also get priority seating at restaurants throughout Universal Orlando. And our room key, which your room key has your name and the dates that you're staying. And that's really kind of your pass to your early access express lines or anything that you want to show with regard to getting priority seating at restaurants. This resort had great transportation. Mm-hmm. They had, of course, the motor coaches or the buses,
right,
as we really know them, they're buses. They also had boats. They call them water taxis. And it's a 5-minute walk to City Walk. So lots of ways of getting to the park, quick access. And like we said, this is really one of the benefits of staying at a Universal themed resort, is just the really quick access to the parks. So Portofino Bay, they had 3 themed outdoor pools. The main pool is sort of a beach pool. It has this Roman aqueduct themed water slide. They had a sandy beach, a couple jacuzzis, and there's a few cabanas that you can rent. The resort also has an on-site Starbucks and a, let me see if I say this right, a gelateria.
Yes.
Is that right?
I think so.
Where you get
gelateria?
Your,
I don't know.
You get your, yeah, get your gelato. They have a few restaurants there. It seemed like Sal's Market Deli was where we were primarily getting a lot of our food.
Sure.
This was a place that you could mobile order and get things out, as opposed to the 2 sit-down restaurants that are there. Mm-hmm. They have a couple of bars, some shops. Not all the shops were open. They do have a game room, you know, an arcade. For a fee, you can get a shuttle to Walt Disney World or to and from the airport. Most places do have that. They offer some ability to, of course, for a fee. Mm-hmm. They also have an Avis car rental desk in the lobby. You can do self-parking. It's $28 per night per vehicle. And they do have a laundromat and some dry cleaning and a business center in case you need to take care of some business.
Yep.
So we stayed in a standard 2-queen room. It was, I guess they average between 450 to 490 square feet.
Yeah, definitely spacious.
Yeah, very nice. There's a table and chair set, an armchair or a club chair. Entry area had sort of a wet bar with a Keurig coffee maker and supplies and a mini fridge. So room was really nicely decorated, primarily colors and blues and oranges, which kind of got my attention. You don't see a lot of orange in decor. Mm-hmm. We had a really large bathroom.
Yes.
It was a very large bathroom. We actually got a pool view this time, and that was nice. Our interactions with the staff were great. Mm-hmm. They were very nice. And the hotel is surrounded by a harbor, and that's where the boat transportation comes in and out and takes you to the parks.
Yes.
To Universal City Walk.
Yeah. If you can get a boat to Walt Disney World, that would be that'd be quite a feat.
Yeah. So Rob, what was your overall impression of this place?
Definitely, to me, it looks like it's more in the sweet spot of maybe a couple's vacation. Certainly if you're going just as a family, then that there's no problem here. There's plenty of room in the rooms. I think the amenities were pretty nice, although we were kind of dealing with some post-COVID lockdown reopening issues. They had a number of their eateries that weren't open or were open weird hours where we were not able to take advantage of them. And overall, I mean, it was a really nice day. I thought the room was very comfortable. I guess my only complaint about the room would be because there was so much room in the bathroom, I didn't really feel like they maximized what they could have done with that bathroom. I felt like there could have been a dedicated like stand-up shower and then a separate tub. And I know some of the deluxe rooms have that, but it's a nitpicky thing. But there was essentially in the toilet room off the bathroom, you could have parked a small smart car in there. and there was just a ton of empty space in there. So that's really my only knock on the resort.
Yeah. And I mean, if they're doing that to make more rooms accessible, for handicap or people, you know, that's totally fine. But yeah, I agree with you. This is supposed to be really their highest end resort at Universal Orlando. And I was kind of expecting a little bit more, you know, maybe a jetted tub, maybe something in that space, you know, at least for some of those. But it was a beautiful room. But again, it didn't really have any real bells and whistles that I would say really kind of made it a standout room.
Right.
It was, the beds were very comfortable. The linens were nice. And again, like we said, the bathroom was nice and big. But otherwise, what'd you think of the pool area? We did spend some time out at the main pool. This was the sandy pool.
Yeah, I think that was kind of, we only went once. We were only there for 3 days. We were kind of leaning, whenever we wanted to swim, we would just jet over to Volcano Bay. And we did do that from this hotel once with one of those dedicated shuttles that Kim mentioned earlier. So, you know, Volcano Bay was far superior to anything you're going to find at any of the Universal resorts. I thought the pool area was fine, but we had gone just after it had rained. So the sand was all wet and it was still overcast. It wasn't exactly your ideal pool weather. Right. We just wanted to kind of go down and take a dip and cool off. So it was somewhat unimpressive. I felt it was kind of something we were really looking forward to.
Right. Yeah. We had big expectations of what this pool area was going to be like, considering this is supposed to be their highest end, you know, resort there. So we had kind of some expectations, and I thought it was cold. The water was cold, and Briggs was unable to find the slide.
Remember? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He kept circling around the pool. He couldn't figure out how to get in to ride the slide. But overall, I think we were kind of about the pool area. Right. And again, we've talked about we are big pool people. Mm-hmm. The pools are very important to us. So we kind of expected a little bit more than what was there. But all in all, I mean, I think we both agree that the number one, you know, the number one benefit of staying here is those express passes.
Oh, for sure.
Because we cruised in and out of just about every ride, you know, at the theme parks without any issues. And it was very hot when we were there. And that was just very nice to just keep moving. We got a lot done because of that. And I think it would have actually cost us more money if we had just bought three express passes than the entire cost of our room. Am I about close on that?
Yeah, it was pretty busy when we were down there. Definitely the summer crowds were back. And I think we overheard in the park someone inquiring about what an unlimited express pass was going to be for the day. And it was something in the realm of $280 or $50 a person. So when you're looking at just the three of us, I mean, that would have been $700+. And we were only paying $292 a night for the room with the annual pass rate. So that's definitely something you want to consider, is whether if you're going for even just a week or 5 days or whatever, take a look at what your ticket's going to be for that 5 days. And even if you can upgrade that to just the seasonal pass, if the blackouts work for you, and you're planning on staying on Universal property, you can save yourself quite a bit of money with those AP rates at some of the resorts. And certainly if it's going to be crowded, those express passes for the three top level, which would be Royal Pacific, Hard Rock, and Portofino, are just priceless. I mean, you can get a lot done.
Right. Yeah. And if that's really what your focus is going to be on doing the theme parks, this is really the way to go. I would say my only other issue is the same issue that we face in basically every place in June in Orlando. Right. And that is the boat transportation is lovely. However, it does not run during thunderstorms or if there's lightning in the area. So we were often shoved off to the bus station. So we'd have to go through the security area and go downstairs and board a bus. Wasn't as convenient. So this is typically what we find, you know, over at Walt Disney World with the Skyliners, right? You know, it's the issues that you have in Orlando is some of those premium, you know, the transportation options that you have by staying at certain resorts are negated by any kind of thunderstorm that's in the area.
I do want to bring up, because we were talking about the boat transportation, and I know this was kind of something that we both noticed and were happy about, which was that the security that you pass through when you're taking the water taxis to Universal over to City Walk, which is kind of the central hub where they drop everyone off, is that you're going to go through security right there at your resort as you're going out onto the dock. And so that saves you a lot of time at City Walk. Although granted, with the new scanners they've got, there's not a lot of time at City Walk going through security, but it's just nice to get that out of the way so that when you get there, you're already totally in park mode.
Yeah, that's a really nice benefit. And the boats do drop you off. It's right there in front of the NBC Sports Grill. Sports Brew?
Yeah.
Grill?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Whatever.
Which is basically in between both Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios. So it's very convenient if you just want to go to do some shopping or dine in a restaurant, or if you're going to either one of the parks, is to take the boat transportation. But we take the boat transportation over there. And one of the dining options that we tried was we had a chance to try the Toothsome Chocolate Emporium and Savory Feast Kitchen. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a restaurant at City Walk that is sort of a steampunk industrial kind of theming.
Yep.
They had a couple of characters that you could take pictures with. We saw them taking pictures with guests. We stopped over to have a lunch, and we started with the appetizers. We had the tachos, which are tater tots with spicy green chili, crispy pork belly, and andouille sausage and queso.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and queso. That was good.
Yeah.
Right. We enjoyed the tachos. Yep. Very nice. Yep.
There was actually more than we could even eat for, between the three of us.
Yeah.
Without spoiling the rest of the meal. So it's a sizable portion, well worth the price. And they were very tasty.
Yep. And we had the Philly cheesesteak rolls. This mm-hmm. is cheesesteak with peppers and onions in a crispy wrapper with a cherry pepper aioli. What'd you think of the cheesesteak rolls?
I like the cheesesteak rolls. I would say not as much as the tachos, but they were still a good solid appetizer. I didn't have any issue with them.
Mm-hmm. And along with those appetizers, Rob, you had a shake.
I did. I had the coffee-based shake. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but basically came with some chocolate-covered coffee beans. And it was very, very delicious. The three of us kind of shared it.
Mm-hmm.
Since we had never actually had any of the shakes from Toothsome before, and that was certainly one of the main items. You can definitely get the shakes. They do have a shake shop downstairs next to the candy store. So if you want the shake and you don't want to go in on the whole dining experience, you can absolutely do that. But they are definitely those over-the-top, loaded, ridiculous shakes. There's some of them that come with an entire slice of pie or an entire cupcake, mm-hmm. plus whatever's ground up in it. So you're getting your money's worth, even though they're probably $12 or $13 a piece, if I recall correctly.
Right. And what Rob's alluding to is also, again, this is the Chocolate Emporium. There is a retail shop where you can get all sorts of treats. I mean, anything that you can imagine, you know, fudge and specialty candies, and there's macarons and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, that was really great. We did partake in some of that, and we enjoyed. We took some things back, and we actually bought a few gifts as
yes.
well.
Yep.
And I got really good feedback about those. Mm-hmm. So we'll get on to our lunch, what we had for lunch. I had the Tuna Melt Madame. This is challah bread with tuna, tomato, Gruyere. Did I say that mm-hmm. right? Gruyere
yep.
cheese. Spinach, red onion, and cucumber, and a sunny side egg on top. Now, my tuna was dry. Mm-hmm. It was flavorless. I basically took a few bites and I kind of pushed it away. And Rob, do you remember what you had?
Yeah, I had the fork and knife grilled ribeye steak sandwich. It was $16.95, so I wasn't sure what to expect with this. It's sauteed onions, mushrooms, roasted tomatoes, arugula, herb shallot aioli, horseradish cheese, and a toasted onion brioche with that grilled ribeye. When that came out, it was a super thin strip of ribeye. It looked like it had been pretty much pounded flat. And it had the consistency of a nice piece of leather. So I kind of felt like I got a good bargain since I only paid $17 for it. Unfortunately, it was virtually inedible. I had to send it back and they took it off the bill. So definitely props to them for making it right. They asked if I wanted anything else by then. You know, we were pretty much already late.
I had already pushed my yep. tuna melt aside.
Yep.
And Briggs, I think, had a burger, right? Isn't that typically? And I don't think he cared too much for his either, because most of it was still there.
Yeah. Actually, I believe on this trip, yeah, it was a burger, just a standard burger, and he ate probably half of it. He had fries that came with it. He ate a few of those. I think he kind of filled up a little bit on the appetizers as well, but he definitely said it was not one of the best burgers that he'd ever had.
Right. So the Emporium side, the shakes, yeah, the appetizers, mm-hmm, were great. Yep. We enjoyed those. Our service was great. Our, yes, server was great.
Yes,
and we made sure that we let him know that, you know, we understand he's not responsible, mm-hmm, for the, right, kitchen. But he was great. But our meals were really not a good thing.
No.
We really wouldn't. So I would say, you know, based on our experience here, our recommendation would be go for the appetizers, mm-hmm, go for the milkshakes, mm-hmm, get some treats at the chocolate shop, but steer clear of the main meals.
Yeah. And I have seen videos where people went and they had good meals. I feel like it's super hit or miss. We had watched one of the vloggers that we regularly watch, had gone and gotten the brisket and wild mushroom meatloaf, mm-hmm, which was a heavier meal than what I was interested in getting, but it was certainly tempting. And they had a really good meal. So, it sounds like it may be super inconsistent. It's just be aware that you're taking a risk and, mm-hmm, and it's going to be probably good or bad on the same level as theme park food might be. So that's a little bit unusual. Usually when you get into these outside the park areas, the standard of the, mm-hmm, food does go up. But on this particular day, I felt like we could have gotten a better meal inside the park, actually.
Yeah, really interesting restaurant, though. You know, yeah, a theme you don't typically see. There was a lot going on in there. But no, it was decorated really cool. I mean, yeah, I think I wouldn't recommend people not go, but I would definitely be very cautious and maybe look at some menus, watch some vloggers before. Maybe they can help you with selecting what you're going to eat. I had the tuna melt because I had watched a vlogger who said it was wonderful. I guess I just didn't have it on a good day.
Yeah, it's an inconsistency again, I think.
Yeah, but that shake was incredible.
Yes, it was. Right. And you don't even like ice cream or milkshakes. So.
No, I'm typically not one of those people. So yeah. No, but it was very, very good. Yeah. And so now we're going to kind of talk about one of the absolute highlights of our overall 2-week trip. And this was, we went to Top Golf in Orlando. Now, Rob is a very good golfer and I am not. And actually, Briggs is a pretty decent golfer for his age.
He's 13. So, yeah, he's coming into it, but he's not, you know, he doesn't have a big power game at that age. He's still a little bit lanky and awkward.
Right. So what is Top Golf? It is a game where you score points by hitting a microchipped golf ball at a giant dartboard-like target in an outfield.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's basically, if you've ever been to a golf driving range, it is configured just like your typical golf driving range. Each bay has got a set of clubs, both men's and women's, kind of like these variable flex clubs that you use. And it basically has a sensor. You wave the club head in front of it and it spits the ball out. But instead of just having flags out there in the driving range, there are these scoring grids, essentially, mm-hmm, these giant circular dartboard like scoring grids. And there are a number of different games you can play, and I'm sure Kim will get into that later. But it's one of these things where you don't have to be an awesome golfer. As Kim said, I don't think you'd ever golfed before.
Yeah, no.
You know, you played softball certainly when you were younger,
and a few games of miniature golf,
right,
in my day,
right? But yeah, based on your skill level, you have to hit it shorter or longer. So you can kind of level it out amongst people of varying skill levels. And it's really just about having a good time anyway. And we certainly did that.
Yeah. So the closer you get your ball to the center of the bullseye, or the further the distance, the more points you earn.
Sure.
So Top Golf Orlando, this is on Universal Boulevard. It is west of the I-4 South, 482, and north of 528. Mm-hmm. So it is really kind of situated between Universal Orlando Resort and Walt Disney World Resort.
Yep.
The price is per bay, and it's anywhere from $30 to $55 per bay per hour. The prices of the bays vary based on the location. There are 70 different locations worldwide. There are many in other countries. And supposedly some places have half off Tuesdays.
Yes.
So that might be a good time to give it a try. But you reserve a bay online, and each bay can accommodate up to 6 people. Mm-hmm. We had a one-time $5 membership fee for new players.
Yep. Per person. Yep,
per person. And they also do some discounts for military, certain healthcare workers, teachers, etc. You'll just have to contact them to find out what credentials you'll need to present or if you have to set up a special account. But they can advise you on that. But you arrive and you check in and they will notify you when your bay is ready. Mm-hmm. We browsed the gift shop waiting for our bay. I think we purchased a couple things that we were really happy with.
Yep.
But I think we waited less than 10 minutes.
We did.
Then we had our bay host. They escort you to your bay. They help you set up your game and to create your profiles for each of the players. And then that is where you select the game that you want to play. And they really have some really fun games. So we ended up playing an Angry Birds game. There's another game. It's called Jewel Jam, which is almost like a Candy Crush sort of game. And then there's also virtual courses where you can play some of the most iconic golf courses in the world, like Pebble Beach and St. Andrews. And so, yeah, you can play 9 holes or 18. You can set handicaps if you're really going to get into it, get into that competition. But yeah, so there are so many different levels and so many different games, and we just had a blast. What'd you think, Rob?
Oh, I mean, for me, it was the first time I'd swung a golf club since my knee surgery, my quadriceps repair. So, you know, I was a little bit ginger, but that was the great thing about this. I didn't have to take full swings. I could take little controlled, like punch swings. And, it, you know, for the scoring purposes, it worked out great. We had a good time. Everything was super competitive. But you didn't have to try to crank it all the way out to the fence, or, you know, worry about who could hit it further. Most of the games were set up so that they'd be equitable, and it was fun for the whole family.
Yeah, it was great. They bring you your food, order food and drink there. They bring it right to you. We had some fantastic apps and some cocktails. They also do small and group events, large group events. They do tournaments and fundraisers, kids' field trips and birthday parties. So, yeah, they've got golfing lessons. I mean, they just have so much going on at this place. They have a sports bar and a rooftop terrace bar, which look beautiful. I'd love to go up there sometime. But you can go and eat there and enjoy the sports bar. You don't have to golf to go in there. So I can only speak for myself. I had a blast. As a non-golfer, I knew that I was basically going to kind of make a fool of myself. I never had so much fun making a fool of myself as I did.
And you didn't. That's the thing. I mean, you actually did really well for someone who'd never touched a golf club before. So, you're under no pressure. You're not out there to shoot a score. You're just out there whacking it around, having a couple of drinks, some food, and generally having a good time. So you can certainly, if you're into a more competitive, mindset, there are definitely things you can do there. They have leagues, etc. But we don't live close enough to one to take advantage of that. But for something to do on vacation, a lot of fun, and certainly, you know, on par with any of the other entertainment type things you could do down there at Walt Disney World, Universal, just the Orlando area in general.
Yeah, this was an absolute blast. And I speak for Briggs. I think he had a wonderful time.
Oh, he did. Yep.
Yeah. So we kind of left here going, we can't wait to come back and do this again and do it with other people. So yeah, check out Top Golf at Orlando if you're looking to kill a couple of hours and have a lot of fun and enjoy yourself and have some great food and drink.
Totally.
Yeah. So that is going to wrap up our 3-part series on our 2-week June vacation. And our next show is going to be after our next 2-week trip.
Right.
We are under 30 days for our next trip to both Disney and Universal, and for us to disappear for 2 weeks with our jobs. We have a lot we have to do.
Research.
Right. Absolutely. We are going to have a lot to talk about when we come back. We are going to be at Walt Disney World on October 1st for the commencement of the 50th anniversary. We are going to be at Epcot to see the debut of Harmonious. We've got a AP pass holder preview of the new Ratatouille ride in the French Pavilion at Epcot. We've got the, we're going to be doing the inaugural Hollow Scream at SeaWorld, right? That should be a lot of fun. And what we're considering probably the highlight is we are going to be doing a full Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios, including the RIP or the VIP tour of that. And we've got a plan for a road trip down south. So we're going to have a lot of things to talk about, but then that will not be until our next episode.
Right. So yeah, we're going to have a ton more content, as Kim pointed out. A lot of interesting little additions onto that trip that are going to make it super special. As she mentioned, we're going to meet up with some friends down in Punta Gorda. And we've gone out of our way to get a Tesla for that day because we've always wanted to check out what the hype was all about. So we're going to do that road trip in a Tesla, which should be very exciting. And then just getting to hang out with friends. Unfortunately, our good friends Tom and Michelle from the Hyperion Adventures podcast were not able to make their trip out, but we will certainly connect.
We love you guys. Love you guys. We know how it is.
We will find a way to get together sooner rather than later, but they're moving to the Orlando area anyway, so Port Canaveral area really more so. But anyway, that will do it for us for this week. If you guys have any suggestions for future shows or things you want to know about, please reach out to us at hoopdeduo@gmail.com. And you can find all of our podcast episodes on our HoopDeeDuo channel or at buzzsprout.hoopdeeduo.com. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap it. You can reach us on Twitter as well. I should point that out.
On Twitter
as well at HoopDeeDuo. So with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap it. You guys have a wonderful week.
Bye, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye.